you to remember the name of Robert Atchison. Okay, Robert Atchison. We'll come back to that name in a bit. If you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. I'm going to read Psalm 91, 16 verses, if you would like to follow in your scriptures as I read them. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew chapter 17, we have recorded, beginning at verse 14, about an incident in which a certain man came and asked the disciples to have mercy on his son. Verse 15, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. So he first went to the disciples, but the disciples could not cure him, so he came to Jesus. And Jesus answered in verse 17, He said, O faithless and perverse generations, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. Some situations in which Jesus brought healing was because of a natural disease, a natural illness. There were other times where what appeared like an illness or a disease was a result of demonic activity. According to verse 18, in this case, it was demonic activity. Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart after everything else had ended and ceased. They talked to him privately, we would say. They said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed. It doesn't take a lot of faith, but you have to use the faith you have. And they were not using the faith they had. But there's a key to it. And he says to them, if you have the great faith, the grain of a mustard seed, you'll say unto this mountain, remove hence yonder place, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, I believe Jesus would have the power to make that literal. I also think what he was doing was illustrating that what's important is your faith. And here's the key, though. And in verse 21, he said, howbeit this kind, this thing that we just dealt with, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Okay, prayer and fasting. I don't believe that means that every time that you have something to pray for, you should fast with it. This kind, there are certain things that to see the faith you have, it need not be a big faith, it just needs to be faith evidenced with prayer and fast. I want you to think of these two passages as you hear about Robert Atchison. Atchison and his wife and two children sailed for Japan to do missionary work without any human sponsorship or support, as we would say today. But with Philippians 4:19 committed to memory, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And 18 years they traveled through the mountains and valleys of Japan, over 2,500 miles on foot, to spread the gospel in remote places. They existed on a diet of rice and fish. Once they were rescued from a furious mob who was about to stone them because they were preaching Christ in that village. Another time, while the black plague swept hundreds to death around them, Atchison wrote, and I quote, "We wrapped ourselves up in the 91st Psalm." That's what we just read. Now, if you go back and read it again sometime, amen, remembering what Atchison just said, while others were dying around them from the black plague, we wrapped ourselves in the 91st Psalm and continued about the Lord's business. He did not ignore the danger nor the peril of the black plague, but he chose to continue to do the Lord's work dependent upon God. That's not brazenness. That's faith. Amen. The size of a grain of a mustard seed. Atchison said, often said, that when God got through, the devil had made an awful fool of himself. Now, let me go back to the beginning of the story. There was a Robert Atchison who was picked out of Chicago slums in 1893. He went out from the Pacific Garden Mission as a missionary to the Orient, and he became known as the Mueller, George Mueller of Japan. Remember George Mueller in England ran his orphanages telling only God about the needs, having no sponsorship, and God provided for all of those orphans. He was also called the Mikado. Well, since I'm not versed in Japanese culture, I looked it up. Mikado was the former title of the Japanese emperor. So he was known as not only the George Mueller of Japan, but he was put on a level with the Japanese emperor. Drink had so overpowered him, alcohol that is, that he would sell his clothes for liquor before he got saved. He had become a tramp riding freight cars to Florida when the cold north weather was too penetrating for his scanty clothing. He often sold his clothing to buy his alcohol. He had been hired and fired by most of the railroad companies. He slept in deserted houses, begged meals and handouts at back doors. You see, we don't know what that's like today. There was a time when if a fence surrounded the lawn of a house, there would be a mark put on that fence. And that indicated to the hobos and the travelers that a meal could be gotten at this house. Sometimes they had to split wood or perform some other task, but they were given the information that you could get something to eat at this place. For nearly 15 years, Robert Acheson felt impelled to walk inside the Pacific Garden Mission, but had not. But then one night he did. And there he heard the story of the cross. And the next night he returned and was saved. Two times he went in.
Amen.
The second time he got saved. His first job was to make restitution to a Brooklyn woman who he owed $40 to for board. And she replied, "I am very glad for the change in your life. And very glad to receive the money as I need it right now." It was 10 years after this time that I just told you of that Acheson, his wife and two children, sailed for Japan and spent 2,500 miles walking throughout Japan. Indeed. 15 years of tramping around the United States with whatever passed for food and lodging. He would eat out of trash cans. He would beg for meals when he was able to. And with all of that, it was training for missionary service in Japan. He writes, where food was bad and sleeping worse. It was in Kobe, Japan, where Acheson first met Charles Alexander, the noted gospel singer. And learning that this missionary was saved at the Pacific Guard Mission, Alexander said, "That's an awful place to get saved." Not meaning a bad place, okay. Then he repeated the statement and said, "They tell me that a person who gets saved in the Pacific Garden Mission never gets over it." Acheson smiled. "As far as I'm concerned," he said, "you struck the nail on the head." And you see, Robert Acheson said, when God got through, the devil had made an awful fool of himself. Because the devil thought he was defeating this man, when what was happening is God was taking the experiences of that man as his training ground so that he could go to Japan and become the missionary that he was. We would do well to wrap ourselves in Psalm 91. to trust God and His Word. To be in the Word sufficient enough that we'd know the Word. Not just turning to it in a time of desperation, hoping to find something there that could help, but being in it so faithfully that the Spirit of God could remind us of what we'd read and what we need to know. I know that there are some sitting here in the auditorium tonight who read their scriptures in such a manner. But I suspect there are others that we need to turn to them in desperation when there's problems. I need to find something. God, please show me something. And then they hear the stories of people who needed to have something from God. And so they open their Bible and, oh, it happens to fall open to just what they needed. And because they heard such a true testimony, they are certain it would work for them. But when they try that method, they don't find it to suffice. Well, if we do our due diligence in reading the scriptures, God will do His in reminding us of the scriptures. It'd be better for us to wrap ourselves in Psalm 91, to exert the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, rather than in the weak ideas that are put forth in too many Christian circles today. Things that sound appealing. Listen, friends, you've heard it said before, and it's true. There's no shortcuts to growing in God's grace. There's no shortcuts to finding the strength and the wisdom of God. It takes time. It takes effort. But what if I need it now? God is faithful. God is faithful, and He'll bring to you what you need now. But not if it's simply something you're going to do, and then when you got your help, begin to bypass God again. God is no man's patsy. And though He might help a man who has such an attitude, so that man can see, or woman can see, that God will help, there'll come a time when God will say, not again, no more. I bailed you out 2 years ago. I bailed you out 2 months ago. But you're on your own now, because that's where you've wanted to be, on your own. Are you not glad that God is faithful to provide for you all that you have need of? Don't abandon God. Now, listen, people like us, sometimes there'll be one who'll abandon God and they'll just, after a few months, drop out of church. And when the pastor knocks on the door, oh, it's just been so hard and I just can't do it. I'll be back. But they know they have no intention of coming back, and so the pastor knows it too. Yeah, it's so easy. But you know how most in our kind of circles, in our kind of churches, do you know how most drop out? By tuning out. Their bodies will occupy the same spot in the pew. Their lips will sing the same songs. Their smile and handshake will be as in years past. But they've tuned out on God. they feel that God's failed them. God's not answered their prayers. God's not done what they needed. But because the church is their lifestyle, they just keep going through the motions. That's sad. That's so sad, so desperate. Father in heaven, thank you for the examples and testimonies of many men, many women who have gone from the dregs of life to the heights of life in Jesus Christ. Bless you, Lord, I pray. Draw us closer to yourself so that Christ can be magnified.